All right, everyone, welcome into episode 20 of the Poor Sports Podcast. Just want to take a second to do some housekeeping. As you may or may not know, we have some merchandise available for purchase. We've got sweaters, we've got hats, we've got t-shirts, we've got long sleeves, and it looks so, so good.
Fire.
You can find that that link on our Instagram. It's run through Shopify. It's done up really, really well. The holiday season is coming, people. You do not want to miss out on the Poor Sports merchandise. Also, of course, we just want to say thank you to everyone who takes the time to listen to the Poor Sports podcast. I've heard from family and friends how much they like to hear it, and that just truly, truly warms my heart, and I can only speak for Lee and Jeremy otherwise, too. With that being said, we have a wonderful episode coming up for you today. We've got lots is happening in the NFL. The World Series just happened. It's, like we've said for the last little while, it's the most wonderful time of the year in sports. So get ready. Buckle in. Poor Sports Podcast coming up next.
We're back.
All right. That's right. The boys are back. We had to take last week off because producer Jeremy was out in Las Vegas doing his damn thing. So I'm sure we'll hear lots about that. But with that being said, we are back in studio. I'm your host, Jake Kelly. I'm in studio with Jeremy Collins. He's back. Say what's up to the people.
I lost my voice a little bit in Vegas. No, I'm just kidding. I'm back and better than ever. A few extra bucks in my pockets. If you followed the Poor Sports Instagram page, I even threw a few of those up there. I went 2 for 3 on those. Not too bad. Came out ahead.
That's what it's all about. And we got Lee in studio. Lee, say what is going on.
It is great to be back. So much has happened. So many sports are just absolutely rolling. It's going to be a great episode.
Absolutely. So, with no further ado, let's get going. We're going to start off with thumbs up, thumbs down. For those of you that don't know, we give a thumbs up and we give a thumbs down. It's pretty self-explanatory that even you can follow it. All right, Jeremy, start us off. What is your thumbs?
Thumbs down.
Okay.
Stop me if you've heard this before. My thumbs down goes to the Toronto Maple Leafs forward, Mitch Marner. Why, you ask?
We're actually just recording. This is just a tape over. He just keeps saying that. And we just keep pulling.
I'm actually not in studio. I'm still in Vegas. Frederick Gauthier, 2 goals. Dmytro Timoshov, 1 goal. Cody Ceci, 1 goal. Nick Shore, 1 goal. These are all 5 versus 5 totals. Mitch Marner, 0. It's a month into the season. It's not early anymore. Mitch Marner, we got heard all this stuff. Oh, when it was just JT and Mitch with Trevor Moore, whoever they were playing with on their left wing, they don't have Zach back. So they're not full strength. And then JT went down. Oh, no. Got to play Mitch with Matthews in the offensive zone. He's an $11 million player.
Allegedly he is, yes.
Yeah, he's not playing like it, that's for sure. Score a goal. I get it. Power play goals should count just as much, or power play points. Do better 5v5. This is what the team needs. The team's spiraling right now. They barely beat the Philadelphia Flyers on the weekend. Philly was coming off a back-to-back. They had to fly. Toronto was 3 days of rest. Had to go to the 11th round of a shootout. Come on.
Here's a quick thing here. Episode you weren't here, Jake. Jeremy and I filled in. And we did a call me crazy, right? I don't know if you got to see this. I said, call me crazy, Jer. I think the first line of the Nashville Predators will score more goals than the first line of the Toronto Maple Leafs this year. It's an absolute blowout. It's a runaway right
now. Wow.
Okay. Well, we'll continue to watch.
Sometimes maybe I'm not crazy.
That is interesting.
I will go next, and I will continue on my thumbs down, and I'm going to actually switch it up last minute here from what I told you guys to continue on my raid of going against people. My thumbs down is to Jake Kelly saying that he would rather go to a conference finals and lose in a game 7 before he would take the first overall draft pick. Now, my reasoning behind this and why I think Jake is not only way in the minority, he might be out on his own little island here, is I'll paint the scenario here for you as Jake starts looking up stats so he can try to figure out his way around this. If you were given a choice, Jake, 15 games into a season, you're 15 games into a season, somebody comes to you and says, you have two possibilities of this season. You can either take the number 1 overall draft pick and you're guaranteed to win the lottery, and you're going to get your Sidney Crosby, your Connor McDavid to your team.
But it's not always Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid. But
that's what I'm saying, though, right now. As of right now, that's what it is.
You're painting a
You're making up a completely fabricated scenario.
So of first overall picks, 4 out of 5 would be a safe guess on their studs.
Okay, sure.
Right? Okay, so 4 out of 5. Or
you're willing to say 4 out of 5?
I would say 4 out of 5.
Really? Let's look at the NBA from 2013.
I'm talking NHL. My example is the I don't care about Anthony Bennett.
Andrew Wiggins and Markelle Fultz, 3 out of 5 years.
Yeah.
That's an absolute joke. You're telling me that you would rather have that kind of that than make it to a conference finals, have a happy fan base, have a successful year, create a winning culture.
Are you a happy fan base? Like, if you're going to be the person that consistently goes to that spot and lose, do you think Washington was happy every year that they got there and then just lost to Pittsburgh every year? And
I think Washington won the cup.
I think that Washington
won the cup because they also had their first overall draft pick that they ended up getting a long time.
15 years later.
I think that the fan base was happier than a fan base at the very bottom of the totem pole, certainly.
But I think you need to be down there easily. You have to be down there to get there.
Toronto Raptors.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the Toronto Raptors also drafted well when their guys came in.
Yeah, correct? We're not saying you don't draft well.
Late.
They didn't have a top 10
pick. They didn't have a top 10 pick.
What I'm trying to say, and what my example still is from the NHL here, and that's where I'm trying to paint it.
Let's look up the NHL.
Okay.
Nail Yakupov.
Yep.
There you go.
But you got, in recent years, you got McDavid, Matthews, Eichel, Heeshire,
How many playoff series wins between McDavid's, Matthews, Eichel? How many? Can someone tell me?
Yeah, it's not enough.
But you're saying I'm saying
very many.
So, like I said, if I continue, my 15 games in, you're guaranteed one thing. You're either getting your McDavid, your Crosby, your Matthews, your Nico Heeshire, even though he's still to prove himself, or you're guaranteed to lose in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
I think both of you paint your arguments too perfectly.
We'll throw that up on the Instagram.
Sure. Sure. So what's the exact question that you want to ask? Would you rather have a good team consistently or get the first overall pick?
No, what I'm saying
I think that's consistently be my argument.
What I'm saying is what I just said right here. Would you rather knowing one of two things, that you're either about to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and losing Game 7, or you finish dead last and you get the number one overall
pick. Lee pretty much just wants to ask, do you want Connor McDavid or do you want to never go to the Stanley Cup Finals? That's what Lee wants to ask.
Well, the fun thing is, I can have both. There you go. Because he's not getting there.
What do you mean?
I'm saying that I can never go to the finals and have Connor McDavid, because that's the path he's on, pal.
Have you been watching the Oilers lately?
They're not going.
Yeah.
They're not going.
Draisaitl and McDavid are going to break down, but like they can't play 30 minutes a night every night.
Jer, I would always agree with you on some things like that, but you also have the Christian McCaffrey stat of he's going to break.
Yeah, and the season's done.
Season's only halfway there.
Yeah, but he's just like still showing.
So you think that the Oilers are going to make the finals this year?
I'm saying they could. Easily.
Any team could. The Blues were in last place at like Christmas time last year. Yep. Any team could.
Yeah.
Wow, hot take by Lee.
No, my
wow.
I'm not saying it's a hot take. I'm not saying it's a hot take. My original argument is still, I would rather take, and I bet you the majority of people would rather take the number one overall pick in the sense of hope that they could get over the hump than consistently going.
What is the hump?
Well, what was the
hump? Define what the hump is for me. Is the hump to be a consistently good team? Is that the hump, or is it to lose in the first round?
I think the hump, if you're a team that keeps going to the Eastern Conference Finals and losing, that's a hump. And that you would...
Sure. Okay. Not the Conference Finals.
Conference Finals, yeah.
Losing in the first round would be not getting over the hump.
Yeah.
Losing in the second round even consistently would be not getting over the hump.
I still will take the Conference Finals if you keep getting there and losing.
Okay, this has gone on too long. Let's move on. This is brutal.
Anyways... Moving on to my thumbs down. My thumbs down is to the Cleveland Browns.
Awful.
Obviously.
They're just awful.
They are awful. They care more about cleats and tweets than they care about winning football games. How many times does Baker Mayfield shave? How many times does Odell Beckham need to get embarrassed? Do you think that those cleats happening, him and Jarvis Landry, For those of you that missed it, they got told at halftime by the NFL that they couldn't come back on the field wearing those cleats. Do you think that would happen on a successful team with a lot of culture? No, of course not. That's not happening on the Patriots. That's not happening at an organization like the Indianapolis Colts. That's not happening. That's a joke of a franchise.
Freddie Kitchens run by the players.
Freddie Kitchens sucks.
We're gonna have two first year like contract coaches in their first year fired real soon.
Yeah.
Now
him and Adam Gase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, like I was even on top saying this in the NFL preview show. I think Adam Gase is maybe the worst head coach of all time. I just think he's a terrible coach.
They're bad. Horrible.
Now, Jake, I'm with you. I'm fully on the let's fire Kitchens train. Like, let's get that going. Who would you rather have, Odell or Baker Mayfield?
At this point, I take OBJ.
I think I would probably take OBJ.
Yeah, same.
Baker Mayfield seems to be good at, like, the longer that the play goes on, the worse Baker Mayfield is.
Because he can't get away, I feel.
If a play is 2 seconds long, he's good because he's a two-read quarterback. Hmm. Boom, boom. As soon as the play breaks down or he has to extend it at all.
That sounds like a system quarterback to me.
Not very good. He's not very good. But, I mean, hey, he was the first overall pick, so you might want to take him, right?
Yeah, Heisman. You know, Heisman's always have a great track. Mr. Johnny Manziel and Robert Griffin III. And
Troy Smith. You know, yeah.
And just another quick Brown stat. Jarvis Landry's been out-targeted this year, like out-targeting OBJ.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone saw the game. It was fourth down, and Jarvis Landry was like, to say he was double-covered is like being nice to him. And Baker throws it into the double coverage. Meanwhile, on the other side of the field, OBJ absolutely burns his guy, has his hand up, he's wide open, and Baker can't give him the ball. So,
brutal.
I don't know.
Crazy.
Not great, but my thumbs down is definitely to those.
Let's get a little bit more positive here.
Cleveland Browns, yeah, let's thumbs up. Jerm, start us off.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. Spotlight. Sunday Night Football. After the game, beats Tom Brady. Becomes the youngest quarterback in the Super Bowl era to defeat a team that is previously undefeated with a record of at least 6-0.
It was a blackout, too. I'd love to know the betting stat on when they blackout or red out, like when the crowd gets into it.
So, what do you mean?
So last night it was a blackout. So like they wore all black. The
ends
were
black. Whiteouts in Winnipeg. Well, Lee loves those things and the dead mascot games. I've had enough of that.
Came back.
So, won it. So Lamar Jackson, he downplayed the MVP chatter, saying he wants something better. Wins.
Yep.
He downplayed out-dueling Tom Brady, saying he just wants to win.
Mm-hmm.
He expressed happiness for his teammate's success, not his personal success. That's my guy. Lamar Jackson. Stud.
Shout out Lamar Jackson. And he was, I think it was the first time in like 21 matchups or something that a first or second year quarterback beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
I might be wrong on that number. Don't quote me.
Eats up young quarterbacks.
Eats up first and second year quarterbacks. It was the first time that they beat him in a long, long time.
Yeah. Quick thumbs down to Kyle Van Noy's ankles because Lamar Jackson broke them.
That was crazy.
On a fantastic play.
That was crazy.
Also, quick thumbs down to Lee Kunzman for betting on Mark Ingram to score a touchdown. Meanwhile, I watched every other running back that seemed like put on a Baltimore Ravens uniform to score.
Yeah, there was, what was it, that the Patriots had only allowed 4 offensive touchdowns this year, and prior to that game, in Baltimore scored 4. So, is this the Baltimore Ravens are good? Is it every team that the Patriots played was bad? Or is this, you know, the Patriots were due for a loss? It was their first loss in 13 games prior.
Yeah.
I would want to hover somewhere in the middle there. That's what I would like. You know what I mean? Like
Lee Fence-sitter Kuzmich here.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I think the Ravens are good. They're erratic. And the Ravens lost the Browns.
Yeah.
By a lot.
Yeah. So that, like, but that's what you're going to have with Lamar
Jackson. Do we have breaking news coming over there from Jake Kelly?
I just got a fantasy football trade rejected. He had it coming.
Yeah.
C'est la vie.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens are a good team, and their highs are going to be super high.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. And he's, when Jackson's rolling like that, he's scary. He's the opposite of Baker Mayfield. Whenever the play gets longer, when you get more and more worried.
Yeah, because he'll just start absolutely like juking everybody, and then all of a sudden he just throws like 50 yards, just like Hollywood Brown, just wide open.
Totally. Anyways, Lee, who's your thumbs up to?
My thumbs up is going to go to the baseball field, and I'm going to go with the Washington Nationals. The big congrats to them winning the World Series. What a storyline.
I think Jake owes me some money here.
I don't recall that.
We can go back, play the last podcast. 20 big ones, add it to the tab, Jake.
It's one of the – I don't know what the exact it is, but they're one of the oldest teams, average age teams to win a World Series. Their average age was about 32, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Steven Strasburg won the postseason MVP. Could have given it to three or four guys.
Yeah.
Juan Soto, Anthony Rendon.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool. Cool story. That was Juan Soto had just turned 21 the day they won the World Series. So when they were all drinking and getting going and thing, he had his first beer after winning the World Series, which is kind of cool.
Soto looked in that game seven. He looked so good. Like there was no way that he was not going to get.
He wasn't going to let his team lose.
He just like the strike zone just looked so small. Like he just, I don't know. And he's a cocky SOB.
Very polarizing. Like you love him, or you hate him.
Yeah.
Like when you're facing a guy like Zach Greinke, like he did in the one game where like he like missed the pitch, he started like swiping around the zone, like dancing around like that. Like you know, every old baseball fan was like, "You come on, hit him, right?" Yeah. Like you know what I mean. And I want to say maybe is this the goodbye to home field advantage means anything?
No, just an oddity.
I would say I hear you loud and clear. I would say no. Think that it was just, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah,
right.
That's a good analogy right there. Yeah,
right.
I can see that. But yeah. Hey, big congrats to the Washington Nationals. I know you guys are all listening to this on your World Series win.
Did you see they hung out with the Capitals?
I did see that.
Yeah.
And the Capitals said they were going to teach him how to party, and it was like Kuznetsov. He was the one that was saying, "Oh, none of them even seemed drunk or intoxicated." Don't let him say that. Don't let Evgeny Kuznetsov, the guy who got suspended for doing cocaine, say that.
Yeah, that's a...
Have a better PR staff, Capitals.
That's a yikes-o. So we'll move on to me. My thumbs up. We're going to move to the basketball court. My thumbs up is to the Toronto Raptors being exactly who I personally thought the Toronto Raptors were going to be.
They are who we thought they are.
They're a team that's going to be pretty good. They're a team that's going to win games that they should. And they're a team that's going to struggle against the top quarter of the league. As we saw, they lost by 10 to Milwaukee. You know, they lost a game.
That game was close, though. They had it within four points there.
And that's exactly my point.
Yeah, they don't have that tipping point.
They'll be a good team. They might not necessarily beat those teams. They'll beat them here and there. But I think that they'll, you know, and that's exactly kind of who we thought the Raptors would be this year. Vegas has their over-under at 46.5 going into the year. We said take the over in our basketball preview. I think it's looking pretty good so far.
Yeah.
I think it's looking pretty good so far.
When they played Coach Casey and the Pistons, I got to go see that game, and Siakam that third quarter. That
amazing.
Might have been the best 12-minute stretch of basketball he's ever played.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly what I mean. They will beat teams like the Pistons that they should beat. Going in there, you know, they won't, you know, mess around and have to win or pull it out in the fourth quarter. Like, that was just a beatdown. And that's what I think they'll end up doing throughout the year.
I've seen my fair share of basketball games, and when I was there at the Scotiabank Center, Andre Drummond is a mountain of a man.
Yeah, he's big.
He made every other play on this court look small.
Okay.
It was nuts. Like, Serge looked small compared to him.
Wow. And Serge is big.
Yeah, Serge is a big guy.
Anyways, we're going to wrap it up there for our thumbs up, thumbs down. But stay tuned because coming up next, we have our NFL midseason awards on Poor Sports. It's good. All right, it's time for Jake's Bet of the Week. I'm sticking with the Thursday Nighter. It is the LA Chargers versus the Oakland Raiders. The line is right now the Chargers -1, so essentially a draw. I'm saying take the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders, guys, they're good. And the Chargers, they got lucky last week against Green Bay. Josh Jacobs is making everyone forget who that guy in Chicago is. Take the Raiders to win that game. All right, it is time for the Poor Sports Midseason NFL Awards. We were going to start off with the MVP award. Lee, why don't you start us off and tell us who your MVP so far at this point in the year is?
I'm going to go even with the stinker that he had last week.
Boo!
Aaron Rodgers.
Wrong.
Wow.
I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers because I think they're going to keep getting better. This Packers team wasn't projected to do as good as what they're doing. And I think a lot of the success is coming from Aaron Rodgers. And I think he's making throws that he has no business making. He's making plays he has no business making. And Jared said off pod that the MVP normally always goes to whoever's the best quarterback. And I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers.
No. Like this week was a huge nail in that coffin.
Yeah,
that was
agree.
A stinker. So, Jake, do you have another quarterback you're going to be taking?
Deshaun Watson.
Ooh,
for MVP.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson for MVP. We are finally getting to see what Deshaun Watson can do when he's got an ounce of protection. Everyone likes numbers. Here's some numbers. His pressure rate is down from 41% to 30%. He's finally getting the protection that he needs, that any quarterback needs, to flourish. And he is killing it. He's a highlight reel after highlight reel. We ranted and raved about Lamar Jackson. Deshaun Watson, right there. Deshaun Watson is my pick for midseason NFL MVP.
Nice. So I'm going to go with a third quarterback because, like I said, it just goes to the best quarterback in the league. And this is just through 8 weeks, but his stats through the first 8 weeks was a league-leading 17 touchdowns and another three on the ground. Had a league-leading 115.5 quarterback rating, 97 first downs, one interception. And just leading a pile of garbage, and the newly acquired Josh Gordon, to a great record. Russell Wilson is my MVP of the season. He's doing so much with so little. He has Tyler Lockett and Chris, I fumble everything, Carson, on a team that just continues to run the ball. When they have the league MVP, let him throw more. It's not like they're going to do much better.
I think that's changing this year, though, and you're starting to see it. They're doing a lot more PA passes.
Yeah, the play action's great because they run it so often. But Russell Wilson, if they can... They're what? They have 7 wins right now? If they get another 4, I think he's the MVP.
Fair enough.
So we each have a quarterback for the rest of the season. Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, and Mr. Discount Double Check, Aaron Rodgers.
Please don't say anything bad about anybody else's pick, but you say something bad about mine.
I didn't say that was bad. He has a great sponsorship.
I just don't necessarily agree with it. I just think he got his ass kicked last night.
But that's one game. Like Deshaun, like are the Texans undefeated?
No, they're not. Yeah. And it's a fair point. Can
we talk about one more quarterback that neither of us mentioned was
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Patrick Mahomes. We think he's out of the conversation because of the injury?
I love what Jake just said over there, though. So, I love it.
So I'll hit your point first.
What about Derek Carr? Because the Raiders are
Shut up.
I think that, no, he's not. He's got to come back soon. And he's got to come back and kill it. It's what's he going to miss? 3 weeks? If he was to come, you know, things happen. And he would have to kill it. He's very low on the totem pole. That's what I think. Jimmy Garoppolo should be getting more love, in my opinion.
No. That's all Kyle Shanahan. He's coach of the year.
I'm with Jake on this one.
Oh!
Anyways.
Sometimes we go at each other's throat, but sometimes we just agree.
Okay, so can we just put up something on the pot on the Instagram then?
Yeah.
Is the 49ers' success more based off Jimmy Garoppolo or Kyle Shanahan?
Are you going to throw the defense any love there at all?
Nope.
Okay.
Two options. That's what Instagram is. That's what it gives us. If it gave us more options, maybe we would use it.
We can do the question one.
No.
Okay. All right.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on. Offensive player of the year. I'll start here. In my opinion, I think it's pretty obvious. It's got to be Christian McCaffrey. He's a touchdown machine. An absolute touchdown machine. Pending him not breaking down, which Jeremy seems to think is going to happen.
Yeah, he's held up better than I thought he would.
This guy is just killing it. It's phenomenal.
Except against Lee's Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Every single week.
We just have something figured out.
Every single week, it's like he scores 3 touchdowns. It's just, he's just guaranteed to get into the end zone. So it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
I don't like giving those kind of awards to players that probably won't be in the playoffs. Just because, like, you can feed anyone you want and they can get their stats up. But if you're not winning while you're doing it, they're 5-3. They're not doing bad.
Yeah, their franchise quarterback's also out, too.
Yep. So he's doing as much as he can. But if they're not in the playoffs, I'm not giving him that award.
Okay.
Mine goes to another team that had their franchise quarterback injured. And because, in part to this player, they're going to be in the playoffs still. Even in the same division as Jake's player. Michael Thomas. He's going to break the receptions record this year. He's going to have like 140, 150 receptions this year. It's nuts. This is just pretty much the best offensive non-quarterback award. There's been a whole bunch of good players. You could give it to a multitude of players. McCaffrey's not the worst pick in the world. I personally think Michael Thomas doing what he continued to do, even with Teddy Bridgewater, who, by the way, would be my pick for comeback player of the year.
Hmm.
I think Michael Thomas is your oh boy offensive player of the year.
Oh boy.
Wow.
Oh boy, that's a bad pick. So for your oh boy, Lee, who's yours?
If I wanted to go against everybody, I could go with someone in the likes of Dalvin Cook.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually going to piggyback with Jake and go with Christian McCaffrey. I know that's not exciting podcasting, but when it comes down to it with the numbers, and Jer won't pick him because he still thinks he'll break, but we're doing it from these first half of the season here, and it's hard to not give it to Christian McCaffrey with what he's put up consistently all over the place. He has a little bit of a hole, and all of a sudden he's just running like 50 yards down the field for a touchdown. He catches. Mm-hmm. He could even block when he needs to be blocking running back. I think he just does it all.
Do you think he'd be doing this with Cam Newton?
Yeah. I think so.
Or do you think he's benefiting from having the unseasoned Allen, who just dumps off?
I think the wide receivers are benefiting from that. But like, I think when Cam Newton was struggling, like, he was looking for that safety valve, right?
Yeah.
A little bit more. That's my thought.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my opinion on it. But
okay, moving on.
We'll move on. Defensive rookie of the year, in my opinion, this is unanimous. This is the Nick Bosa award, and it's not even close.
No.
All
what?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Devin Bush, linebacker for Pittsburgh. I think in a defense that had been struggling and that team was going over a complete rebuild in the sense of what everybody thought was going to happen once Big Ben went down, Devin Bush coming from Michigan has stepped into that role. He is everywhere whenever you watch a game. If you watch a Steelers game, Devin Bush is all around the place. It's easy to give it to Bosa just because of the stat numbers, but you see it sometimes, like last year with the Colts linebacker, I'm forgetting his name, Leonard. Darius Leonard, where he had a lot of tackles, but like linebacker numbers don't always like show up in the biggest eye popping ways the way that D linemen do. So I am actually going to go with Devin Bush.
Okay, and then so I'll just he said he doesn't have the stat numbers. Yeah, he doesn't have Bosa's. He's leading the league, well, tied with Aaron Donald for tackles for loss. I believe he's fourth in quarterback pressures. His 7 sacks and an interception. This all playing just 266 snaps through 8 weeks.
Yeah, he's...
It's a nuts stat line.
He might not even be Defensive Rookie of the Year. He might be Defensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm. You could say it. We'll move on. Offensive Rookie of the Year. Anyone want to start? I'm going to go with someone who I just mentioned in my betting segment. Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs is making everyone forget who the hell Khalil Mack is. Like, the Bears suck. If you would have told me
that's just Mitch Trubisky and Matt.
If you would have told me last year that we would have been saying this, everyone would have been like, "No way!" After what Mac did last year, man, Jacobs is making them forget about it. He's killing it.
These running backs just keep getting better and better that come out of college. And this year, if Josh Jacobs were to come out this year, I think he'd probably be the 5th or 6th best running back out of the class. But he landed in a perfect scenario.
He did.
In Oakland, and he's doing very well. It's mm-hmm. either him or, depending on what Dwayne Haskins do, and I'm not saying Dwayne Haskins is a rookie of the year, but the receiver he might be thrown to, Scary Terry, he's going to be the one that's battling Josh Jacobs for rookie of the year. If he can get over 1,000 yards as a rookie on Washington, that's going to be showing some love.
Lee, what do you think?
I'm also going to go to the contrary here again, and I'm going to take the first overall draft pick this year. I'm going to take Kyler Murray in the sense of what he has on that team, which is absolutely nothing. He started out very, very questionable. But if you've watched the games over the last couple weeks, he started to adapt to this pro life. He's starting to look a lot like Lamar Jackson in the fact that he is escaping plays. And he's throwing on the run, which is what he was doing in Oklahoma and making a big change. So if I was to give it from like the last 3-4 weeks, I mean, no doubt Kyler Murray. So I'm just going to go on what I think will project throughout the rest of the season. So I give it to Kyler Murray.
Nice choices all around.
Yep.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Jeremy finally complimented one of my picks.
All right. So one last thing. Let's do our under and overachievers for the year. I'm going to start on this one. My overachievers are my Buffalo Bills. 6-2. Patriots are 8-1. We are in the hunt for
first
place.
Yeah, the Bills look like they're going to make the playoffs and then go out real quick.
Probably. But that's
Would you rather be the Buffalo Bills or the Miami Dolphins?
You got mad at us for going as long as we did, sir.
We're not getting into that.
You got mad at us. I think it's obvious I would rather be the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, I think that they're a good team, you know, and they're a team that beats teams that they're supposed to beat.
So as a Bills fan, what do you think about Josh Allen?
I think we finally have a quarterback who is not awful.
Yeah, so is he good?
He's going to be good.
Yeah, you think so?
I'll put it that way. I think he's strong. He can run. He can. He's got a strong arm. Yeah, I think he'll be good. I think yeah.
Do you know who's been the picture perfect consistent player on that team? John Brown.
Yeah.
One of two players in the league to have 50 yards or more in every single one of their games. The other one being Michael Thomas.
So they're at 6 wins after 8 games. What are you guys willing to say that
they
will
have to get to
win?
10.
Do you think that they will? So if the
to,
Lions.
To what? To make the playoffs?
If the Lions at 10 and a half, let's say, but I'm just asking you straight up, Bills over under wins. Do you think that they will get 10 and a half?
So they have Miami, Denver, Dallas, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, New England, and the Jets.
And the Browns.
And the Browns, yes. So, we can comfortably give them Miami,
yep.
Denver, and the Jets.
So that brings us to nine.
They don't get over 10.5, for sure.
So who are they losing to?
New England. At New England.
Yeah, that's yeah.
At Pittsburgh.
You're willing to say that they're not going to win that game?
Yeah.
I'm also going on that one, too.
I'm going to say Lamar Jackson beats them. The Cowboys game, that's going to be the game that would put them to 10. That's going to be the, if they win that, they're in the playoffs. If they lose that, they're out.
So you don't even think they can get into a wild card at 10?
It'll be close. I think so.
With who?
I think you still got the Steelers coming up.
At 4-4.
Yeah, I think they're going to get to.
Why are we giving the Steelers so much credit?
The Raiders are at 4-4.
And you crap all
over
the
Raiders. Where are you getting that they can't fit into the second wild card here?
I'm going to put the Colts, Steelers.
Colts with potentially no Brissett.
Yep.
So Brian Hoyer is going to lead the Colts to be a higher record than the Bills. I'm not even a Bills fan. This is absurd.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Why are you all over the Steelers?
The over-under was 10.5. I took the under.
Okay.
I'm going to take the under because I think they get to 10 as well. But what's the over-under on they're going to make the playoffs if they get to 10? Because I feel like, where are you seeing other teams? Like, if you're bringing down other schedules, like the Steelers also just have to play a bunch of teams too, and you need them to get to 6 wins.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm doing what you're exactly not supposed to do in betting and bet with your heart and not your head. Hammer that over.
So this is the Steelers schedule. They have a Rams team that's missing Brandon Cooks and has been not the Rams team of last year. They have Cleveland Browns, the Bengals. Then the Cleveland Browns again. Then the worst team in the league last year, Arizona. Then they get Buffalo. Then they get the Jets.
Then they get the Ravens.
And then they get the Ravens.
Like, it's a favorable schedule, but I will still go out on a limb and say they split the Browns. All right? Because that's just what happens in this division. Right? I think they lose to Baltimore. And then at that point, from the rest of that schedule, I would not put it either. Even if they win it, they lose. They're not out.
Up on the gram, over under 10.5 wins.
There we go. Who is your over or underachiever, Jeremy?
My overachiever is the San Francisco 49ers, the undefeated San Francisco 49ers. They picked really high last year, got Nick Bosa, lost Jimmy GQ to his injury last year. He's doing just enough. They got Tevin Coleman, who Kyle Shanahan's the running back whisperer, so he has Breida, Coleman, Raheem Mostert. They got a good committee back there. And then your wide receivers, they brought in another model of consistency, Emmanuel Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing tons for that team, whether it's like on the score sheet or not. He caught a touchdown last week, but the stats aren't going to be there in that system, I think.
Sure.
So they're my overperformer. They're a good team, last remaining undefeated team. Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to translate to postseason success, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm along for the ride.
Lee?
Could I take the overachiever with the Dolphins now having won one game?
you could.
No, but my honest overachiever is going to be the Carolina Panthers. And if you would have told me what would have gone down with the Panthers and that Cam Newton would have gone down and that they would have had to bring in Kyle Allen, who hasn't really even played before and everything in that standard, and you would have told me they're 5-3 and he's actually, 5-1 as a starter? I'll definitely lean that way on overachieving. I think they could also, you could also almost give it to the Saints as well, because if you would have said that you would have lost Drew Brees that in, you would have had to bring in Teddy Bridgewater 2 years removed from football.
That's crazy, because people are saying that he's going to get between like around a $30 million a year contract for what did he do, 6 games?
Yeah,
I think I think any team who does that is not making the playoffs.
So those would be my split, the NFC South.
Well, I think Teddy Bridgewater should go to Chicago.
Just interesting.
Consistency, like, won't turn the ball over, not going to chuck it downfield.
Here's a question for you guys, a little bit off topic here. You have two quarterbacks. You have phone calls been made, as we said a couple weeks ago. Jameis Winston for Mitch Trubisky.
You take Jameis Winston every day of the week. Mitch Trubisky might not even deserve to be in the studio.
Where do you draw the line on picking away at other quarterbacks to get Mitch? You know what I mean? Like, who?
No,
like,
Mitch shouldn't have a job in the NFL.
Yeah, he
shouldn't have a job in the CFL. He's going to be the fourth best quarterback in the XFL.
Wow.
That's my fantasy quarterback.
Jameis Winston is. That team puts up points. They're just snake bitten. So I think James.
No, you just don't win every week throwing the ball 30 yards downfield every play.
Sure.
Okay, underachievers, quickly.
My underachiever, you know what? I'm tempted to say the Cleveland Browns, but no, because they just suck. They were never supposed to be good anyways. They suck. My underachievers, the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, 4-5. That's fair.
4-5. Everyone was high on them. They only lost. They were 12-4 last year, right? Or 13-3, one or the other. And they started hot, and they just fell off. Philip Rivers, you know? I don't know.
You see him on the press conference yesterday holding like what feels like his 43rd child, like a football?
I didn't see that.
So
such a weirdo, man.
I could go with the Browns since I originally picked them.
To
win the division.
And then you'd like double down like 2 weeks later.
I didn't double down. I said I'm pivoting to the Ravens.
But then you said Browns in second.
Yeah, and that's not looking good. But I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, man. Back to the drawing board here.
I stole these. The Atlanta Falcons, they have Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Devontae Freeman, Matt Ryan, Austin Hooper, who was the number one tight end in fantasy as of a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and they suck.
Yeah.
They suck.
It's crazy. That team, Dan Quinn, is dead man walking.
Fire Dan Quinn.
But is it going to do anything in season? Like,
maybe not.
So, I don't know.
I don't know if anything. Yeah, but again, this is me. I think that it doesn't do anything good for your culture, just losing all these games. You can't accept losing. You can't tolerate it. I say you fire him. You know, that's what I think.
Yeah. So now in an absolute panic, I've figured out my underachiever because Jerry hit it. And I'm going to go back to what we were just talking about, the Chicago Bears.
You can just
Bears.
Agree with me. And then
The Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears are 3-5. We all, I'm pretty sure when we were doing our rankings in the preview show, all took the Bears to win the division.
I believe I took the Packers.
I don't recall.
Yeah, but. I don't recall that. So as of right now, you took the Bears. But regardless, did anybody see the Bears being a worse team than the Lions?
No.
Right? So they're 3-5. There's going to have to be a change there. Whether you could call it 100 different things to try to change that, bring back Mark Trestman maybe, or
he's in the XFL.
Yeah, no. But they need to do something offensively there to get it going there. Whether that be a
they have such a cocktail for disaster there. They have Orlando.
Should have kept Mike Glennon.
Yeah, they have Orlando Pace who traded up and drafted Trubisky ahead of Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. Then they have Matt Nagy, who with his quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, is throwing the ball 50 times a game. When Mitch Trubisky cannot throw the ball, he should be dumping it off. Start playing quarterback, what, last year of high school or something like that?
Yeah.
It's nuts. And then you have Mitch Trubisky, who I don't know if I'd let him in the room right now.
Yeah.
If Mitch Trubisky walks in the room, you would ask for his autograph. You'd be like,
I'd take a picture.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
We get him on the Power Sports.
He's not allowed on the Poor Sports Podcast.
Would you rather have
I'd rather have Joe Flacco than Mitch Trubisky.
I would rather have neither. But anyways, with no further ado, we're going to wrap it up there. But coming up next, we've got a fun game that you're not going to want to miss.
Game.
A new fun game. You're not going to want to miss it here on the Poor Sports Podcast.
Lee Kuzmich here with his Bet of the Week. And let's just say one thing. Nobody can stop the U.S. Air Force when there's a dead mascot game because it is back. They won last time when I was there. They crushed Utah State, and they did that for Aurora. So everybody's betting faith in the dead mascot can come back. I'm going to keep going college because that's where I've been rolling. I'm going to take the game's going to be Penn State at Minnesota. Both these teams are ranked. Minnesota actually is undefeated out of nowhere. So it's the two undefeated teams left, one of the two undefeated teams left in the Big Ten. I'm going to take Penn State to win this game, but that's not a lot of money on it. So I'm actually going to go even up one more. I'm going to take Penn State to score more than the 26.5 away from home in Minnesota, because Minnesota hasn't really played anybody. Their best game is Fresno State. So I'm going to take Penn State over 26.5, take it to the bank. Poor sports.
This is not Jake Kelly on the beat. This is Jeremy Collins, and I will be your host for this edition. Brand new game, Headline or Lie. Please play along with us in your car, at your home, wherever you're listening to this wonderful Poor Sports Podcast. So the idea of this game is I'm going to give Jake and Lee a headline. And guess what? They have to decide whether it's a true headline or whether it's fictitious. I made it up. Pretty simple, guys?
Yeah.
Works for me.
Awesome. So, without further ado, we'll start with a story about Golden Tate and Jalen Ramsey. Jake, put your computer away. No Googling anything. So, Golden Tate is making subtweets about Jalen Ramsey because Jalen Ramsey dumped Golden Tate's pregnant sister this past summer. Headline or lie?
That is a headline.
That is a headline.
Ding, ding, ding. You guys are one for one. Congratulations. Golden Tate shouldn't be doing anything. Golden Tate got beat up by Percy Harvin.
Yeah, I think that Jalen Ramsey would beat up Golden Tate.
Yeah.
Those are also maybe just like two guys that like maybe just shouldn't be in a fight either way. Like they're both like a little bit smaller guys and everything like that.
I would pay to watch it.
I'd rather watch that than what was it? Justin Bieber and Tom Cruise.
Oh
yeah, they were supposed to fight.
Yeah.
Really? I would probably pay more money to watch Justin Bieber and Tom Cruise fight though. That would have been sick.
Okay, moving on. We have a beer company in New Jersey, Double Nickel. They are going to give away, you know, like how the Browns had the beer fridges? So they have a whole bunch of beer fridges around the county that will open when Ben Simmons hits a three-point shot this year. Headline or lie?
Okay, so I'm going to talk myself through this. I don't think that he's going to end up shooting many. He didn't make one last year. He still hasn't made one. He made one in preseason when they were up 50 points on a Chinese team. I think it's I'm going to say it's real because I don't know if he's going to hit one this year.
Lie.
One of you got it right. One of you got it wrong. That's kind of how this game has to go. Lee, 2 points. Jake, yeah. One.
Damn.
Woo!
Okay, moving
Fire
on.
Fire me up.
We had a boxing match temporarily stopped. Marvin Jones is the boxer's name. Why was it stopped, you ask? His cell phone began to ring and fell out of his pockets that he was boxing in. Headline or lie?
Why would a boxer have the cell phone in the pocket?
Do sometimes maybe you shorts, forget about it.
Do boxing shorts have pockets?
Oh, wow. Here we go. I don't know. I want to say no. But
why? What purpose would pockets serve?
Yeah. But like if they do, you know how sometimes like you're just probably like warming up and you maybe put it in there?
See, but why would this be this would be a very obscure lie. I'm going to say it's false. I just can't imagine. Like, why would you leave your like, what if you get punched there? Like, I don't know.
Jeremy, is this the last one?
No, I have one more. And don't play for the win.
No, that's why I was asking, because I actually agree with Jake that it's a lie.
Okay. We're going to continue on. We'll visit this one back, because I've decided that we're going to go through at the end and say headline or lie for these
just
ones.
Make it up the rules as we go.
Yeah, that's how we do it here. Okay, so I have Javondre Sicker Than You Hill dropped 60 points in his senior basketball championship game in North Dakota high school ball to give his team the 2-point victory. His middle name is Sicker Than You.
What's his first name?
Javondre.
And what's his last name?
Hill.
He dropped 50?
67 points.
Oh, 60.
True.
Like, I think it's true, but, like, if we're going to come down to it and we need... I don't
want to... Actually, I have one more. I have one more I can do.
I'm going true as well.
Okay.
I feel like you wouldn't... Like, that'd be weird to lie about. That's my thinking behind it.
Okay. And finally, Tyson Fury, a.k.a. the Gypsy King, traveled all the way to Saudi Arabia to be a part of WWE's Crown Jewel event in Saudi Arabia. He came out dressed as a Saudi native in some super big, elaborate entrance. Headline or lie?
Okay, so since this could potentially be the winning one, and I don't want to play for the win, let's say it together.
I'd say let Lee go first.
Okay. Yeah, let Lee go first.
I think you're lying.
I think it's true.
This is not good.
We have a tie.
So, to go back, Tyson Fury did come out dressed as a Saudi native. Some big, grand, elaborate entrance. He won his fight against Braun Strowman in Saudi Arabia. I actually watched the match.
Live?
Live on Halloween.
In Saudi Arabia. Good for you, man.
Well, not. I wasn't there, but I was watching on the stream. And then, what did we have? We had the Double Nickel in New Jersey. That was false. They are not giving away free beer. Made-up brewery. Made-up promo. Got you the guys there.
I said true.
Okay. Then good for you. And Marvin Jones did lose his cell phone in the boxing match.
What was he doing there? Did he give an explanation?
I don't know, but this guy doesn't know how to box because he later got knocked out and that dropped his record to 2-5.
Yikes.
What a millennial.
Yeah.
Can't do anything without his cell phone.
Crazy, eh?
Yeah.
Well, did we enjoy that one, guys?
Yeah, we're just going to end it on tie? I think we need a tiebreaker.
And last but not least, this one isn't too crazy, but we have a tie, and that tie needs to be broken.
Always. I'd rather lose than tie.
Well, we might be able to arrange that for you there, Lee. So, 3 of the last 8 NHL teams that have won the Stanley Cup fired their coach at some point that season. Headline or lie?
3 of the last 8? Sometime the following season.
No, the season that they won the championship.
Oh, I see. I say true. I say headline.
If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go, I don't know.
Blaze
of glory. That's what I'm about to go into. I'm going to say false.
Ding, ding, ding. It was 2 of the last 4.
Ah! Wait, sorry, what?
Yeah,
you... Woo! Suck it, Jake!
Is it possible that three of the last eight have?
It is possible, but I know it's not.
1-0.
Anyways, folks, that
I'm gonna make
does
a Tom
us.
Brady Instagram video that he does after they get wins. Like this.
Are you gonna kiss your son on the lips too?
I don't have a son.
We're gonna move on real quick from that. That does it for us this week. So, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Poor Sports Podcast. Like I said, we love every single listener that we get. Give us some feedback on our Instagram page.
5-star review.
Yeah, 5-star reviews. At poor_sports. Make sure you get some merchandise. Send us you wearing the merch. You'll be featured on our Instagram. We'll shout you out, and we will love you forever. Anyways, that is it for us tonight.
I still need a bet. So stay tuned after.
Stay tuned. Jeremy's
listen
going
to the bet and then have a great day, morning, night, wherever you're listening.
Hopefully, I can make it better.
Absolutely. All right.
Sports Fanjare / producer / Vegas extraordinaire here. I spent a whole podcast trashing Mitch Trashbisky. I'm picking against him. I don't care that it's in Chicago. Matt Stafford isn't bad. I really like Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones. They got Damon Harrison on that D-line. We're going Detroit Lions, money line. I always try to get you some value for your money. You get 2.25 times your money if you take Lions, money line, Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff. Bet it and hope. Let's hope for some money, guys. Thanks for listening. Poor Sports.